boxing fans, mark your calendars. Ryan Garcia puts his welterweight world title on the line against hard-hitting top contender Conor Benn, plus undefeated Australian superstar Jai Obataya takes on Noel McCallion. Saturday, December 12th, all live on Paramount+. The feud between Garcia and Benn reaches a boiling point in one of the biggest fights of the year. The best part? There's no pay-per-view. The entire event is included with your Paramount+ subscription. Saturday, September 12th, stream Zuffa Boxing's Ryan Garcia versus Conor Benn live on Paramount+.
If you're the type of person who wants data, not assumptions, Prenuvo's whole body scan gives you a deep understanding of your health. Screen for over 500 conditions, including many cancers, autoimmune disorders, neurodegenerative diseases, and more. Add blood panels to test over 80 biomarkers, and you've got information about your body you may never have had before. Book your scan at Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops, and neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's go. Tommy Lugauer, Lugie. Phone number to call, as always, 888-808-1019. As the Yankees continue to dominate, they continue to roll, they continue to impress on a nightly basis. 15-2 in their last 17. And the rich will get richer very soon, because a starting rotation that has already been dynamite all year long is going to get Cole and Rodon back very soon. And you could start to dream of a rotation that will keep opposing teams up at night when you consider the pitchers they already have and the pitchers that they are about to get. And I've talked about this a lot. You know, Gerrit Cole, you know, he held it down as the ace of this staff. But now, as he comes back from a major injury, he doesn't have to feel the pressure or the, hey, we need you to be the guy here because we don't have a lot of horses in this rotation and the team is struggling and, you know, we need you to throw up some zeros here and give us eight innings every time you take the mound. Gerrit Cole gets to come back to a rotation that has just been lights out through the first month and change here of the regular season, and Gerrit Cole gets to be the third starter on the team. Fried and Schlittler obviously being the top two. And that's a real nice landing spot for Gerrit Cole, who is not necessarily a young man anymore. He is coming off a major injury, and he's going to probably have to adjust some of his style of pitching, considering both of those factors. But the good thing is that he doesn't get to come back off this injury and be thrusted back into the ace role. There's already two aces, and it gives him time to acclimate himself after a major injury at an advanced age. Oh, and by the way, the Yankees score a ton of runs, which also takes the pressure off of you. The home runs, as the weather has warmed up, even though we're not quite there yet, today it was nice, but overall, we haven't gotten that warm, hot summer weather because it is, in fact, not summer yet. But even with the, I would say, mild temperatures, the Yankee bats have really heated up here as far as home runs, just scoring runs in general. It feels like every single night they are tacking on runs, which is a sign of a not just a good team, a great team, because it gives your bullpen, which we know is, if there is an Achilles heel on this team, it's going to be their bullpen for now. Obviously, they're going to make changes when the deadline rolls around. But for now, that is the Achilles heel of the team. And really, we're talking about a team that's rolling right now. So when we say Achilles heel, it's nitpicking. But it's a concern. when you tack on runs, you allow your bullpen to take a deep breath. Because even if they give up a run, you know, and the deficit, let's say it's a two-run lead and now it's a one-run lead, well, you trust the bats to pick you up and score that run back or maybe even tack on five more after that. And it doesn't feel like the same old Yanks that we've seen. And I said this, if it wasn't after the first series, it was definitely after the second series. I said, this doesn't feel like the same old Yanks that we have seen under Aaron Boone, where they only relied on the home run ball. Now, look, they're hitting, they lead the majors in homers. I mean, they're hitting a ton of them, but it feels different. Even though the home runs are now starting to come in bunches, it feels like they're not sitting there relying on the home run, and that if they don't hit the home run, they have no shot of winning because of the strength of their starting pitching and because of guys like Jose Caballero, who I've sung the praises of for quite some time now, and you sort, he's an instigator in a good way, in the best way possible. You know, he got in the head of Jacob DeGrom tonight. The bunt that he laid down was brilliant. To get Jake, who is, you know, as good as it gets as far as his generation in terms of a starting pitcher, to get him to have a pitch clock, a violation, that's what Caballero just does that where he, like, looks down at the ground. And I don't see any other player doing that. He dictates the pace when he's at the plate better than anyone I've seen so far this season. And he's really using that pitch clock to his advantage. Not where it would be an advantage for the pitcher. He kind of flips the script on the pitcher. And he did it tonight against one of the best that we have seen really in this era of baseball. And that is Jacob DeGrom. And the Yankees were able to get to DeGrom. You know, with the long ball, with just tacking on runs later on in the game. But when you face a guy like Jake and you're able to not only get the best of him, but hit a ball, you know, over a fence or two. We know McMahon, who's heated up here. And I got to say, look, Ryan McMahon, who we all have, but I've been heavily criticizing this guy. He has started to hit. He has started to turn it around. Now, you want to see it over a longer period of time before you say, hey, the Yankees don't need a third baseman, and McMahon isn't necessarily the guy that, because I have him more pegged as a bat off the bench, defensive replacement, that sort of thing. But if he continues to hit, he'll find a way into the lineup, and it'll make it a lot of easier decision for Brian Cashman in a couple of months. Because we know at the top of the list, it's bullpen. We know that. Like, they're beyond set at starting pitching. I mean, look, Ben Rice is out of the lineup, and they don't skip a beat. And Ben Rice is the MVP of the American League right now. And he's been out for the, like, most situations, you lose your, obviously, it's your second best player, but for the argument of this conversation we're having, he has been their best player in the sense that he is the MVP of the American League, in my estimation. But we all know Aaron Judge, obviously, is the best player. But to lose Rice for a couple games and the team doesn't skip a beat and they're putting up double-digit runs against the Orioles, and then they obviously were at it again tonight and they got home runs from McMahon and Goldschmidt and Jazz, and they're getting contributions really throughout the lineup to where you're overall best hitter this year, he's out now, and it won't be long until he's back, obviously just dealing with the hand contusion, but they haven't missed him at all, which most teams, if they lose a bat like that, you know, they're going to struggle a little bit, especially offensively. Because Ben Rice, who's still, you know, he's still learning first base, and obviously he hasn't gotten there yet, and it still can be dicey at times. But as far as offensively, I mean, Ben Rice, who I, before the season, said he was going to hit 40 home runs, I think I shortchanged him. I think I shortchanged him. And I've thrown out the summer of 61 stuff with Maris and, of course, with Mantle. And I wonder out loud if we are destined for something like that again this summer. Now, obviously, they're not chasing history. They're not chasing the Babe. So it doesn't have that sort of historical impact or dynamic to it, but you're talking about two Yankee teammates that are just on incredible paces here with the long ball. And you think about the MVP conversation, because if I had a vote right now, it would be Rice. But on the flip side, Aaron Judge and the protection that he provides, if it's not there, is Ben Rice putting up MVP-type numbers, which means that Aaron Judge is the most valuable player because of the protection that he provides and obviously the brilliance that he, not only offensively but defensively, it feels like he is either robbing a home run or just throwing a pea back into the infield on a nightly basis. And he shows you the wide skill set that he has. And his value to this team is always the most valuable. But Ben Rice has just been absolutely incredible. So if I had a vote, it would be Rice. But to me, it gives you that vibes of 61 because you have two teammates, two Yankee teammates that are, it feels like, destined to have that type of summer where it's an iron sharpens iron, try to one-up each other, and all to the benefit of not only the Yankees, but the Yankee fan. And I feel like this team has been, certainly in October, but at times in the regular season, have been a frustrating watch. It's hard to explain because they win so many games in the regular season, but they do it in a frustrating manner at times. You know, maybe they're not doing the little things right, or base running issues, or defensive problems, or things of that nature. Striking out too much. And it would just make you want to, if you're a Yankee fan, rip your hair out. Even though they were winning, because obviously the standards are super high. And you just know watching a team throughout the regular season where it's like, okay, yeah, they're winning games, but when it comes to you-know-what cutting time in October, and obviously the competition gets a lot stiffer, you know, these sort of things that have plagued you throughout the year can come back to haunt you in October. Really outside of the back end of the bullpen, and look, Bednar was amazing tonight, came in a huge spot in the eighth inning, got two huge outs, and then the offense tacked on in the bottom of the eighth, and then it was, you know, a rocking chair, even though you got a triple there, run scored, but otherwise, I mean, you had a big lead, so it became a rocking chair. Like, the save of the game was in the eighth inning, not in the ninth inning. That was the big moment, and Boone trusted Bednar for a multiple-inning save. But you're not seeing those type of warts this year. That's why it doesn't feel like the same old Yankees that we've seen. Now, the big test for me, just because it's one of those, it could creep into the mindset of the players. And that is the June swoon that this team typically has with Aaron Boone. Now, obviously, the pace that they're setting right now, they've set themselves up for where if they even have like a less than stellar June, it's not a big deal. But you wonder if that is if they could kind of clear that and they don't even have that June swoon, then you really know that this team is totally different. Because then it would have no resemblance to the teams we've seen, other than they just hit a ton of home runs. But now they are doing it in a way that doesn't feel like a one-trick pony. It doesn't. So if they can clear the fact that they don't have a June swoon, like if they don't have one, if they have a good to great June, then you're like, okay. Then you're like, all right, it stamps it. This is regular season-wise, not the same old team that has frustrated Yankee fans for the last couple of years. And not across the board, because some people just go for the ride, and they just love everything about the home runs, and I understand that. Because there's plenty, and this is not the wrong way to go about it, if you just enjoy a 90-plus win season. And think about it just in the bubble and the vacuum of, hey, this is the regular season, we'll worry about October later. But for a lot of fans, October is always on their brain because the Yankees always get to October. So it's that feeling of, okay, yeah, it's great now, but what about October? Is this going to hurt us in October? Whereas this year, though, it's been a lot of fun if you're a Yankee fan watching this team. How could it not be? They're on an absolute roll. They are winning in all different kinds of ways. And they have a great starting rotation that's only going to get better when they get Cole and Rodon back. And I don't put any stock. I know both are kind of struggling through rehab, so that means nothing. They're just trying to get their way back up to the big leagues. And like I said, they're in a great position. Not only Cole, but Rodon. Now, Rodon, a little bit different than Cole, only because Cole is the ace, was the ace in a sense. So Rodon was never considered that type, even though he's had some great moments for the Yankees. You know, he also gets the slot in a good position here, where there isn't a lot of pressure. There isn't a lot of spotlight on him. Because of how great this team is playing and how great they've been pitching. And that's obviously a credit to not only, you know, guys like Schlittler, guys like Fried, guys like Warren, who have really held it down while these guys have been out. And it doesn't even feel like they've reached their max potential yet here because of the guys that have been out and the reinforcements, obviously, that are on their way. Because it feels like maybe they're a player or two away positional-wise from being complete, or the bullpen adding another arm or two. But this Yankee team that you're seeing right now, as great as they've been, in theory is only going to get better and better and better as the summer arrives and rolls on because of the players that are coming back and the moves that they're going to make at the deadline. Because you know Cashman's going to be active. Because, number one, it's expected. Number two, look at the start they're off to. And number three, I think you're in a situation now where not only have to go the mile, you got to go the extra mile. Because you proved, hey, look, everybody got on us for the run-it-back Yankees, including myself, which, look, we won't know that till ultimately at the end. This is a story that has multiple chapters. And if you're a Yankee fan and you want to crow about that, which I've had a few fans call me up and crow about it, which is totally fine. Because if you are one that felt like, hey, they should run it back, the first month and change belongs to you. And in all likelihood, all these months are going to belong to you for the regular season. But the ultimate goal and the ultimate, much like the Knicks, and we'll get to them coming up here in just a little bit, much like the Knicks, because they are on fire right now. They are dominating. They are on a generational run. But if they don't make the finals, then you question the firing of Tibbs and the hiring of Mike Brown. Just like the Yankees here, if they don't make bare minimum the World Series, and also factor in that the American League outside of the Yankees and the Rays is awful. Awful. And one of the teams that you expected to be good, the Tigers, they just lost Skubal for months. The Mariners have been playing a little bit better, but they still haven't got...
Boxing fans, mark your calendars. Ryan Garcia puts his welterweight world title on the line against hard-hitting top contender Conor Benn, plus undefeated Australian superstar Jai Opetaia takes on Noel Michalian. Saturday, December 12th, all live on Paramount+. The feud between Garcia and Benn reaches a boiling point in one of the biggest fights of the year. The best part? There's no pay-per-view. The entire event is included with your Paramount Plus subscription. Saturday, September 12th, stream Zuffa Boxing's Ryan Garcia versus Conor Benn live on Paramount+.
Here's something you may not know. Only 14% of cancers in the U.S. are caught through routine screenings. Prenuvo's whole body MRI may help close that gap. Screening for over 500 conditions, including most solid tumors, all in under an hour. Prenuvo's body panels also test over 80 biomarkers for a deeper understanding of your health. No radiation, no contrast. Book your scan at Prenuvo.com. That's PRENUVO.com.
What the heck is going on with all these promotional popcorn buckets? The giant shorts that all of Gen Z is wearing now? And whatever the heck High Rocks is? I'm comedian and certified hater Matt Bellassai, and these are the types of questions I'm demanding answers to on my podcast, What the Heck with Matt Bellassai. Listen or watch every Thursday as I rant about all the internet trends, pop culture stories, and personal mayhem that makes me scream, What the Heck? Follow What the Heck with Matt Bellassai wherever you get your podcasts.
Got it going. You have three teams over 500. And one of them is the A's, and they're like two games over 500. So the American League is hideous. So when you factor in that, and you factor in the normal expectations and the way this team is playing, it, much like the Knicks don't get to the finals. It's a disappointment. You question the decision to get rid of Tibbs and to hire Mike Brown. You question the roster, even though things are bliss right now for the Knicks. You know how things are around here. Things can change on a dime. That's how it works. It goes for the Knicks. It goes for the Yankees. It goes for all the sports teams around here. If the Yankees don't make the World Series, then you can make the strong argument that running it back wasn't the correct thing to do. And heavy lies the crown. I mean, that's just when you talk about expectations and you talk about any team in this town that has them, but the Yankees who have them, you know, every single year, and they're only heightened when you consider the fact that they haven't won a World Series in quite some time, and it's a long drought for their standards. For most teams, it wouldn't be that much of a drought, but for them, it is. I think it's a good parallel to bring up both teams, the Knicks and the Yankees. The Knicks right now are rolling. If they make the finals, everybody will say, obviously, if they win the championship, it goes beyond that. But if they make the finals, which is the bare minimum, and I've said that forever and ever and ever this season, and I think now everybody is on board with that, especially with the way they have been playing over the last four games and completely and utterly dismantling the Hawks and boat racing the Sixers in game one, as they are on this historical pace here with these games. I mean, it's stuff that we have basically never seen. Forget the Knicks. In NBA history, we haven't seen this. But none of it will matter if they don't make the finals. Same thing here with the Yankees. If they don't make the World Series, then the running it back can be, we can reopen the books on questioning that. But so far, much like with the Knicks, so far, nothing you could say against it, because 15-2 in their last 17, atop the American League, and really the, and give credit to the Rays because they're right there with them, but the Yankees are the gold standard. They are the measuring stick. They are setting the pace in the American League. And it's their division to lose. It's their league to lose. And they're only going to get better with the reinforcements that are on their way and Brian Cashman being active at the deadline, fixing any, what, not many, but whatever holes that they do have. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Let's go to Richie in Queens. What's up, Richie?
Hey, how are you?
Good, good. What's happening? Hope you're well.
You know, I picked up my wife on Friday. I swear to God, Tom, this is a true story. And we pulled out of the parking lot, and she said, there is a baby squirrel.
Oh, you saw one.
I swear to God, Tom, I caught the glimpse of it. I wanted to take a picture. I said, where is Lou Gallo when I need him?
Well, what do you mean, where am I? I'm right here. Where were you? Where am I going?
I'm here. If you were there, that would have been awesome.
Well, how could I be there? How could I be
up
there?
You're in the Poconos.
You're in the Poconos.
Get away from the city. Why not?
What do you mean, why not?
Why would you be up there?
Well, because you didn't invite me. How am I going to be there? You should have called me immediately. You didn't call me? You should have called me immediately, sent out the baby squirrel.
I am going to invite you one time to come up here and play.
Yeah, I'll likely decline.
Play a round of golf at my club.
Do you have a club? I do, poorly, but yeah, I do play golf.
I'll get you out there one day. I'd love that. I'm going to get a couple of the WFAN guys to come up and
be
my guest for a week.
That'd be awesome.
You know, but, all right, listen. I am not a Yankee fan, as you know, and I usually am very tough with them. And I did mention to you 2 weeks ago that Rice was like a mini Schwarber with an average, and he's gone beyond my expectations.
Yeah.
But this team, Tommy, is a team that definitely no reason why they can't win it all this year. There really isn't. They've got speed, and they, like you said, they will get somebody for the bullpen. Mm-hmm. Their starting pitching is incredible. Even their relief pitching. Hill has been fine. Bednar gives him up, but he's been okay. Duvall has his moments. Cruz. So they are built.
Yeah, but listen, I think the two things, if we're going to, because I agree with you that they have a great chance of winning the World Series. They certainly, the path for them to get to the World Series seems to be great right now when you consider the American League and how poor it is. But if I were to say, okay, a couple of things that would make you worry about the Yankees a little bit, I would say bullpen. I would say defense on the right side of the infield. But again, that's just that they can improve both of those, by the way, especially the bullpen. That can be improved greatly at the deadline. And as far as the right side of the infield, I mean, if you're worried about Ben Rice late in the game, you could always take him out and put Goldschmidt out there, who you have supreme confidence in as a defensive player.
Yeah, there's always going to be issues. But, you know, overall, they're so dominant at this point, and they look really, really solid.
Yep. For sure.
And I think that they should, and the Dodgers have got issues this year. The Dodgers,
those
guys are down.
They are, but the thing about the Dodgers,
an off year.
Yeah, but the thing about the Dodgers, the one thing I will say about that is that, and we saw this last year, when you are a now two-time defending champ, you can kind of go through it in the regular season, and you have earned the right to defend your crown, and I think until they are taken out, you can't say, well, they have this, they have that. Until they're beaten, until they have the stake driven through their heart, it's one of those situations where it's like, all right, they have a whatever regular season, and Diaz is out for a little bit, but at the end of the day, that's a team that can turn it up in October, and their goal, obviously, is to go with the three-peat here.
Yeah, and you know, that is true, Tom, and if I think about it, three-peat versus a team that's so hungry, mentally the edge could be for the Yankees.
But no, it absolutely could. And look, you saw that last year with the Dodgers. They were right there. They could have lost that series twice. The Blue Jays had them on the ropes twice. Now, heart of the champion, obviously the talent that the Dodgers have. But there's something to that. I mean, it feels like with the Dodgers, much like it did with the Chiefs, although it didn't work out for the Chiefs, that a three-peat would mean something. Like, they seem to embrace being the villains and the heels and the winning. I don't think that they would be taking it for granted, but it is difficult to win three in a row, so you do have that. So that's going for every team that's going to try to knock them off in October.
And with the Knicks, Tom, I go back 100 years, okay? Mm-hmm. And this has been the most dominant I've ever seen. And I was skeptical. Yeah. I spoke to you about it.
Yep.
My feeling was they were not going to get out of the East because of two reasons. I didn't like their defense, and Cat seemed to be invisible. Well, that has changed. And obviously, OG, what he's doing, they're playing with such precision and such teamwork. And all of a sudden, the Brown talk is in the back burner until if they somehow get knocked out by Philadelphia, it'll be back. But there's no reason at this point, like Joe says on weekends, I don't want to hear about it. I want them to win a championship. And right now, the way they're playing, there's no reason why we can't expect them to be there. So,
no, of course,
we've got two really, really top teams right now.
Yeah, always look, if you're you too, Rich, and I appreciate the golf invite. If you are a Knicks fan, you're feeling great. If you're a Yankee fan, you're feeling great. If you are a Knicks-Yankee fan, if you root for both of them, this is sports nirvana. If you want to clump in also the Giants into that conversation, if you are a Knicks Giant Yankee fan, you are... So basically, if you are Chris McMonagle, essentially. I'm trying to think quickly in my head if anybody else fits that trio at this radio station. Quickly. No, I think that's it. I think it's McGlagagle. He is the only Knicks Yankee... Again, doing it real fast in my head. Knicks Yankee Giant fan is Chris. I have two of those covered. I don't have the Yankees covered. And there's a few others that have a bunch of those teams, but not all three. I think McGlagagle's the only one. Because you would think Marash is a Knicks fan just because of his bravado and that he always goes for what we would consider maybe the more popular of the teams. But no, he is a Net fan. I don't know if it's a tax write-off. I don't know why the hell he roots for the Nets. He could tell you better than I could. But yeah, if you are a Giant Nick Yankee fan right now. We took a caller last night actually about this. If you parlayed all three of them to win and you put $10 down, you'd win about $40,000. But there is a lot of excitement. And if you want to do that, great. I mean, it's a fun one. I mean, a gamble at your own risk, but it is a fun one. There's no reason to dream big about these teams winning championships. Now, the Knicks are the closest, obviously. So to me, they are the one that you want to zone in on because a lot of things could happen throughout the baseball season. Like, the Knicks are now not only entering the doorstep of the finals, but they are playing their best basketball of the season at the perfect time. So when you look for things in a champion, you look for talent, they got it. You look for chemistry, time spent together, they have it. You look for a team that can play defense, they're playing defense great right now. And you also look for playing your best basketball at the right time, which they have. Oh, and health, which they have. So they have all the things needed for a championship run. And right now, Richie said it. I heard Boomer say it. I've been saying generational run. It seems to be the common take now about this team, that this is the best that they've ever played. And I said this for years, and I felt like as I was saying it, it was an unpopular opinion. But now, if I said it, because basically everybody else is saying it, it wouldn't be. But I've been telling you forever that this is the most talented Knicks team ever. Certainly in my lifetime. If you want to just stick to, hey, you didn't see the... Okay, fine. But the Knicks teams that I've seen, which spans close to 40 years, this group is the most talented team. This team is more talented than the teams in the 90s. Now, don't tell any of them that I said that because they'll be mad at me. They'll probably throw me in the fifth row. But it's true. In fact, they might tell you that. Because we know that the Knicks legends, they love to go to Madison Square Garden for these playoffs, and it's a great fraternity, and there's just so much excitement right now around the Knicks. Because they truly are New York City's team. And when they have these type of playoff runs, and there's electricity and excitement, not only at Madison Square Garden, but in the streets of New York and just on these airwaves, it's one of those things that just... It goes right through you. It gives you the chill bumps, the goosebumps. Now, there's still a lot of work to be done, but I could put the feet up, and I would love to see this team just, of course, the championship, but if they could just steamroll everybody on their way to it, boy, would that be nice. That would make up for all those horrible years. An easygoing championship. Now, do I expect that? No, of course not, because at some point, somebody's going to step up, I would think. Possibly Philly. I think this game coming up tomorrow, which we're still a half hour in today, so tomorrow, this is going to be the series. This is the series. If Philly can come out, steal this one, tie it up, send it back to Philadelphia 1-1, it's a series. If they get absolutely dismantled again, they'll take their ball and go home, number one. And number two, I think you just say, boy. Because, all right, let's just try to like talk this out. Obviously, the Knicks have been so unbelievable on both ends of the floor their last four games. Now, Atlanta, they had a major advantage talent-wise. It didn't show early on in the series, but once the Knicks flipped the switch, it was a wrap. And they did it with style, too. Like, so they got the style points. It's like Alabama playing one of these like horrible teams that they schedule, and they win by 60, and you're like, boy, Alabama looks great this year. And maybe they don't win the championship, but the team that they scheduled that was inferior, they put up, you know, 70 points on them. And now here we are with Philly, coming off of a tough series, a tough game seven. You know, they got to go back-to-back road games, two different cities, and it showed. Plus, the Knicks are on another level right now. You wonder if that's going to continue, and if it does into game two, then I feel like, okay, this is a sweep, potentially, maybe a gentleman's sweep at worst. But if the Sixers win the series, you're like, okay, here we go. It's the sports war that we knew that was going, or expecting it to be. And much like in game two, when the Knicks let the Hawks in and they allowed a big lead to slip and they allowed the Hawks to win that game, it became a series. To the point where, and this is crazy too, because, you know, it wasn't that long ago where the Knicks were fighting for their lives in the playoffs. They were fighting for, they were down 2-1. They were fighting for their playoff existence and their season. And now here we are a short while later, and they are the toast of the NBA right now, certainly the toast of basketball here in this town, because they are just on a, and this is Knicks fans really generationally. Like, it's not just somebody like me who's a little bit younger or whatever, or somebody even younger than me. This is just, I've heard from like multiple generations of Knicks fans, either I've heard them on the radio or seen their clips online, where they are saying this is the best basketball they've seen from this franchise ever, ever. Tells you a lot about what they're doing right now. And all I could say is, keep it up. Keep it up. Don't have those moments that they've had throughout the regular season, or they had in the series that was prior to this one, where they allowed a team like Atlanta, who had no business winning a couple games, they allowed them to win those games. But we're going to find out. If the Knicks just completely take apart Philly tomorrow, then to me, the Knicks have really ratcheted things up, turned the corner, and it's going to take a lot. If anybody, then it's going to take a maximum Herculean effort to keep them away from the finals. Because once you start going downhill and you have talent and you have chemistry and you have the experience of being in the playoffs over the last couple years and going on deep runs and being in the Eastern Conference Finals last year, and perhaps maybe, just maybe, the Pacers were just a team that they could not beat.
Boxing fans, mark your calendars. Ryan Garcia puts his welterweight world title on the line against hard-hitting top contender Conor Benn, plus undefeated Australian superstar Jai Opetaia takes on Noel Michalian. Saturday, December 12th, all live on Paramount+. The feud between Garcia and Benn reaches a boiling point in one of the biggest fights of the year. The best part? There's no pay-per-view. The entire event is included with your Paramount Plus subscription. Saturday, September 12th, stream Zuffa Boxing's Ryan Garcia versus Conor Benn live on Paramount+.
If you're the type of person who wants data, not assumptions, Prenuvo's whole body scan gives you a deep understanding of your health. Screen for over 500 conditions, including many cancers, autoimmune disorders, neurodegenerative diseases, and more. Add blood panels to test over 80 biomarkers, and you've got information about your body you may never have had before. Book your scan at Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
How We Met Your Mother is the How I Met Your Mother rewatch podcast with me, Josh Radner, and series co-creator Craig Thomas. Follow How We Met Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
If that's the case and you start going downhill, running downhill, then no one's stopping you. Even if it's Detroit, who I expect to beat the Cavs. Even if it's against Detroit and the Knicks don't have home court, and we know what went down in the regular season between those two teams, which I don't think will have any carryover, and I've been saying that for months and months and months and months. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It's After Hours. Loogie in the Late Night here on The Fan. Tommy Lugauer. We'll get back to your calls on the Yankees, on the Knicks. We'll mix a little bit of the Mets in. They didn't play tonight. It's snowing, believe it or not, in Colorado. So they didn't play tonight. They'll play, obviously, tomorrow night. And they will play on a day game on Thursday. But we will mix them in to the conversation. I got you for another hour, 2.5 hours, I should say, here on The Fan. 888-808-1019. That is the phone number to join the conversation. Tommy Lugauer, Lugie in the Late Night here on The Fan. 11:41 here on The Fan in New York City. Tommy Lugauer.
So they're varying blues to the Paul Rosenberg meter.
No, it's not Emmanuel. You even got Babari doing this stuff for you now. You had Carino. You had Dave Sims. You have everybody doing it.
They volunteer.
They do not volunteer.
They do.
Well, the only reason they volunteer is because they view you as the puppy on the side of the road that is lost, that is homeward bound. That's what they view you as. Because if you notice, I never say anything nice about you because I have the unfortunate...
You're my best friend.
Right. I have the unfortunate cross to bear of being your friend.
You're my best friend.
Not only do I have to, and people don't understand this. They're always like, oh, you're mean to Paulie. If people understood the conversations I had with him off the air, it is just, how would you exist? I mean, how are you, you are one of one. You are one of these people that just, you just live on a planet that only you inhabitate. It's just, it's incredible. Like the conversation.
Inhabitate?
What's the word there, dummy? What's
inhabitate?
What's the word? Inhabitant?
Inhabitant.
No, it's not. Inhabitate. No, it's you inhabit. No, hold on. What happens when you're on the planet all by yourself? You habitate it. Nah, it doesn't make sense.
It does not make sense at all.
Doesn't roll off the tongue. Well, I don't know how many sports talk radio hosts it takes to screw in a light bulb here, but I think it's inhabitate. Let's just go with that because we can't come up with a alternate one. But yeah, you are on a planet basically all by yourself, and the conversations we have are... I asked you to do, I won't say what it was, but I asked you about something that you did last night, and you looked at me like I had six heads. I'm like, Paul, you did it! And you go, well, it was last night. Yeah, last night, it was 6 years ago. And you have no, like, recoil of what happened to you 24 hours ago. Not 24 years ago, not 12 months ago, 24 hours ago.
We brought Rosie back because not only is he a really good player, but he's a tremendous teammate.
Of course. It's now time for the Corona Lime Time highlight of the night, presented by Corona.
3 seconds left. Brunson got it! Jalen Brunson with the last 11 for New York ends the first half with a bang! 27 points through two, and the Knicks lead by 23 at the break.
Jalen Brunson, who has continued his dominance over the Sixers, especially in the playoffs. We remember back to 2024, the 40-point games. He would have had 40 the other night as well, except it was a blowout, and they took him out, and he had, 35? If he had played a full game, 45, he might have even went for 50. The Sixers have no answer for Brunson. None. They have nobody that can stop him. He will eat in this series. And when Brunson... As long as everybody else is getting theirs, and look, I mean, Bridges with 17, he even got an ovation from the Garden crowd. Because everything is blissful there right now, as it should be. Both ends of the floor have been unreal for this team. But I said it going into the series that Brunson was going to dominate because I don't see anybody on this Sixer team that's going to be able to stop him. And that was proven true in game one, and I expect that to be the norm in this series. Now, could the Sixers go after Brunson when he is on defense? Yes. And could they use that to their advantage because he's not a good defense player? Of course. But as far as offensively, there is no resistance in terms of the Sixers stopping him. There is no defensive resistance. None. Zero. And if these games continue to be blowouts, he won't score 40. But if they are even somewhat close, he is going for 40 every night. Every night. I mean, that's been the norm. Think about it. In four straight playoff games against the Sixers, 47, 40, 41, 35. And the 35 was in limited action. He essentially has had four straight 40-point games against this team in the playoffs. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Joe is in East Meadow here on After Hours. What's up, Joe?
Hey, Loogie. It's Joe. I'm calling from the depths of hell, i.e. the Emerald parking lot at UBS Arena after a Bruce Springsteen concert. I can't get out. I'm stuck with a bunch of 70-year-olds trying to find their Subarus, and I'm trapped. Anyway,
well, hopefully you get it out of there before the Knicks tip off tomorrow night. It sounds like you're in a situation. By the way, and I talk about this all the time. Look, I'm sure it was an amazing concert. One of the biggest reasons why I don't like going to sporting events or events like this is because of the commute and the traffic and getting out of these places. It is just an absolute nightmare. So I feel for you there because you had a great night, but it loses all momentum. Now, I love it, the fact that you're in the car because you get to listen to me and call up because you have some free time.
Exactly.
But it is a pain in the ass. It feels like you never... I've been in parking lots sometimes after games or concerts where I'm like, I went to WrestleMania a couple years ago when it was at MetLife. I just got back yesterday. It took forever to get home. I was like, excuse me? And all these people are going for the World Cup? Good luck here in the summer. You're never getting back to your hotel. It takes forever to get out of there. So it's very frustrating.
It is very, very frustrating. I'm calling about the Knicks. And listen, I love you. I think you're unbelievable. We're all very aligned on all of our teams, right? So being a giant Met Nick Islander fan, I'm struggling a little bit with the Knicks' recent success because every time I've seen a team that's won a championship, like the Giants, right, in 07 and 11, we were coming from a position of weakness, wild card, we're playing with house money. Even the Mets, when they had their couple runs in 2015. And like, now with the Knicks, I'm struggling to root for a favorite. I'm, like, waiting for the next shoe to drop. I'm always on edge. It's very different from the other successful runs my teams have had. So how are you dealing with that? I've been hearing you talk about it, but...
But you mean the front-running nature of this, how they're just destroying teams?
Right, exactly. I'm struggling with it because I'm just waiting for something to blow up, and, you know, I'm on edge all the time. I think they can win it, and I don't know how to deal with that.
Well, okay, so two different things. I mean, their back was against the wall in round one. It feels like a forever ago, but they were down a 2-1 going to Atlanta, or still in Atlanta, and they had to win that game. Otherwise, I mean, I guess based on the way they played now, perhaps they didn't have to win that game, but it sure felt like they had to win that game. So they already had their moment in the playoffs, and I expect them to get tested again. I really do. So the way I'm handling it is I'm just staying level-headed because we're at a point right now where we have been here before as Knicks fans in the second round. So this is not unfamiliar territory. Now, the way they're playing is unfamiliar because they've been so dominant on both ends. But when we get to where they're like one step away from the finals, that's where I'm going to have to try to, because that's a place we haven't been in this century. So it's been a long time. So it's been a very long time. So that's going to be the feeling of, all right, how do we get there and how do we get through it? That's the first one. And then the second one, yeah, look, I always thought, hey, it's got to get to the finals. That's the bare minimum. So get there and root for OKC not to be there? No. Look, if it's OKC, you take your chances. I have this weird feeling, though, and maybe I'm wrong, you know, but I have this weird feeling it's going to end up being Knicks-Spurs.
And that'd be a great matchup. We played great against them in the regular season, right? So I think they have a shot, Loogie, and that's what's making me nervous. Is like, I'd be so disappointed if they don't get there at this point.
Yeah, not get to the finals, and I hear you. Yeah, and obviously going back to the last time the Knicks were in the finals, it would be a rematch of that. You know, obviously Knicks and Spurs. So I'll admit, I'm using logic for one and not logic for the other, but the heck with it. It's my show, I'll do what I want. I already told you that, and I've been saying that I don't think the regular season matchups that we've seen this year. And I've provided reason for it. And I'm going to provide even more reason for it as we go here, because it certainly seems like we are on a collision course for Knicks Pistons, which is it's felt like all year. Like, everybody wanted to pump up the Celtics. It's like, have you seen that team? And they had one of their star players coming back from a major injury. This Fan Focus is presented by Chef IQ. Watch the game, not the grill. Get your gear at chefiq.com. So, yeah, so what I'm saying is that the regular season games against the Knicks and Pistons, I featured both of them. They were obviously very one-sided in the Pistons' favor. I don't think that has any carryover into their postseason matchup and their playoff matchup because of the fact that the Knicks have more experience. The Knicks, I just think, are better. And Detroit still has to prove, with the lack of experience that they have, that they can win a big series. Like Orlando, if they had shot the ball at all in Game 6, Detroit would be home. Now, they didn't. They were like, what, 1 for 25? I don't think they scored a bucket in 45 minutes of real time, which was just putrid, to say the least. And obviously, if they take care of Cleveland, okay, but Cleveland's a team that hasn't exactly excelled in the playoffs in the Donovan Mitchell era. So the Knicks would be their biggest challenge. Let's see if they can answer the bell. But on the flip side, in the West, OKC is obviously a wagon. They're dominant. They essentially steamrolled their way to a championship last year. They're well on their way to another one. But boy, did they struggle against the Spurs. And I'm not as dialed in on it or connected to it for me to say, well, there was a reason why. You know, I watched the games, but I'm not a OKC fan. I'm not a Spurs fan. So I can't diagnose it like I can with this situation, because I really truly know all the history and all the ins and outs of what's going on with the series, because I've lived it. We've all lived it as Knicks fans. But it just feels like the Spurs have OKC's number. So if anybody's going to knock them off or certainly take them to the brink, it's the Spurs. Now, you take your chances with OKC if you get to the finals, of course. If it's Knicks Spurs, boy. Let me not say anything that'll come back to bite me in the ass, but I'll just say this, boy. That's all I'll say. That's it. I'm not going to say the word. I would never say a word like get ready for the parade or a phrase like that. I would never do that. I wouldn't do it. So I'm not going to do it. I would never be like, hey, listen, if it's Knicks Spurs, get ready for the parade. I wouldn't do that. So I'm not going to do it. I'm just telling you right now, I would never say anything like get ready for the parade. I wouldn't do it. That's not something I want to do. Because I'm already trying to, you know, the whole thing is with the Mets right now. And, you know, we don't need to bring the Islander thing. So we're not doing that. We're not doing it. I wouldn't say anything like get ready for the parade. 888-808-1019. But the Knicks are rolling right now. It's great to see. It's fun basketball. It's as good a basketball as I've ever seen in my life. Keep it up. And much like our last caller, Joe, if you feel the same way, I'm here for you as Positive Tommy. I can be a therapist. I could be a doctor. I could be many Tommies, as you know. Positive Tommy, Delusional Tommy, Tommy the Pothole Slayer, Tommy the Rationalizer, Tommy the Family Man, Tommy the
Beast Logie.
Thank you. I could be Tommy the Hopeless Romantic. There are so many different sides.
Tommy Temperature Check.
Thank you. Tommy Pucks. I could be so many different Tommies. There's just a million versions of Tommy, and you never really know what Tommy you're going to get, but the versatility there helps me help you, because obviously I am a chameleon when it comes to the many sides of Tommy. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It is after hours. We'll get back to your calls on the Knicks, on the Yankees. We'll mix the Mets into the conversation. I have you for another 2 hours here on The Fan.
Boxing fans, mark your calendars. Ryan Garcia puts his welterweight world title on the line against hard-hitting top contender Conor Benn, plus undefeated Australian superstar Jai Opetaia takes on Noel Michalian. Saturday, December 12th, all live on Paramount+. The feud between Garcia and Benn reaches a boiling point in one of the biggest fights of the year. The best part? There's no pay-per-view. The entire event is included with your Paramount Plus subscription. Saturday, September 12th, stream Zuffa Boxing's Ryan Garcia versus Conor Benn live on Paramount+.
What if the thing you're listening to right now never got interrupted? What if it could play uninterrupted from room to room on Sonos? What if you start with two Sonos speakers just to see how it feels? What if you really like how it feels and you become a Sonos person who can't stop saying to their friends, "What if you start with two Sonos speakers just to see how it feels?" because it's not magic, but it's not not magic.